Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday. It's that time again. It's Brock Bucks and the Berg Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Tarek Brock. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So, without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Tarek, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, boy, that Big Apple is a Big Apple.
Man, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone, man. Thank you for tuning in today, man. Doing well this morning after a great streak that we were on and a great night commemorating the memory and the life of Roberto Clemente. And so I'll try and document some stuff online on Facebook, first and last name, TARRIKBROCK. On Instagram, same thing, first and last name, all one word, just add the SR on it. And on Twitter, first name and SR. So just easy. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing really good. And let's start out with the Red Series, because the sweep of four-game series in Cincinnati, the first time since 1991, you matched your season-best win streak of four games set in early July. And in the four-game takedown of the Reds, it seemed like the Pirates are firing on all cylinders. Largely solid starting and relief pitching with an offensive output. Man, oh, man, that had to be exciting.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, we came in and just played with great energy. We played quick, and we had a time where the game was tied up, and we just fought back. And, sometimes playing that, we had a night game followed by a doubleheader starting at 12:30 and then having a getaway day at 12:30. And we just kind of rode that momentum, the whole time we were there. I say good pitching, timely hitting. We ran the bases well. We're just looking forward to just, recapturing that, tonight here, against the Mets.
Yeah, when you look at that, it just seemed like, when you play a team like that, you're trying to pull them down to where you are and leapfrog them. 2.5 back of Cincinnati as you try to chase down third place and keep your sits on Chicago after that. How important was that to take that series and now head into New York and try to take these guys out and then go to the Yankees?
Yeah, you want to start your road trip off, in this case, a 10-day road trip off, well, start off with good momentum and going. And the last thing that you want is to, be at the back end and trying to win, three in a row to get you to 500, on the road trip. So getting off to a good start was great. It was good for us, especially, like I said, being in divisional games and, going into next year, losing five divisional games. So every game becomes that much more important in the division. So we'll just do everything that we can to bring it, tonight. It'll be a regular game. It won't be, a lot of ceremonies that'll be going on before the game. And then plus we have some guys that this was their first time playing in New York, had a lot of rookies, and they just had to experience the energy, the crowd, and the team. And so we'll just look forward to, guys being a little bit calmer tonight and playing, Pirates baseball.
Yeah, and you got O'Neill Cruz there, who's maintaining a hot month of September. He's hitting .314, 16 of 51, four homers, 11 RBIs. Man, how important is that to get his feet wet in the big leagues?
Absolutely. The big man, is going to be a centerpiece of our lineup for years to come and an anchor in our defense. And, every day that he steps in the box or, runs out on the field is for him to grow and learn. and capture those moments and take everything away and be able to, you know, use it, you know, later on. And, you know, that's the cool part of when you have a rookie, you can have ups and downs, but it's more important of how does he respond to the ups and the downs. And, you know, we have a good staff here and we're doing everything we can to, you know, keep our guys, you know, minds and words pointed, you know, north.
Yeah, when you look at Roberto Clemente Day there yesterday, that must have been something to sit back and watch with the ceremonies.
Absolutely. You know, it was just really cool having, you know, both teams don the number 21, which was great. The Mets did a great job of having, you know, videos of their young Latin players, you know, talk about it. It was good to see past winners like Dave Winfield, Eric Davis, Jimmy Rollins, Curtis Granderson, Dale Murphy, Rick Sutcliffe. I can go on and on with the former, you know, Clemente Award winners. And then also having, you know, a starter on the field and, you know, Carlos Cookie Carrasco, who had won it in 2019, start the game and actually pitched a wonderful game. So it was really good. They had the Puerto Rican national anthem going as well as, you know, our United States national anthem. Just a really cool, fun night. It was on national TV. It was a good celebration of baseball, celebration of giving, and, you know, celebrating the legacy of Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, and you talk about Carlos Carrasco. He kind of looked like Nolan Ryan last night, went six innings, gave up the one run and four hits, 11 strikeouts. But, you know, that's expected. You know, you know baseball is ups and downs. You know, some teams are going to get you one day, you get them the next. But it was nice to see Daniel back and visiting him now that he's with the Mets. How fun was that to have a nice chat with Vogelbach?
I was able to speak with him before the game, and it's really cool. It's what you see, you know, when you have, you know, players that come and, you know, play very well and then go to a contender and, you know, pitch in and do well there. It's really awesome and happy for him. Still has the funny sense of humor that he always has and, you know, just love his competitive nature. You know, you could just see his head shaking, mouth running, you know, all night long, you know, just chomping up his head to see and show what he can do, just like when we played Milwaukee. It seems like he got a little extra boost against teams that he had, you know, formerly played for. So we just look forward to, you know, him doing that and just seeing some of our young guys, you know, take that challenge. You know, our pitchers take the challenge and our defenders as well tonight.
Yeah, JT had a little rough go of it last night, but, you know, I like this. We're, you know, going into 2023, you know, I like these pitchers. To get their feet wet, take their lumps now and bounce back for next year. But I think JT will be something, you know, next year as well.
Yeah, you know, JT, you know, we believe will do a good job. You know, he still has some starts this year remaining, you know, to step up and just continue to grow, you know, just as well as, you know, all our other young players, you know, to do as well. So, you know, sometimes you just – run into a day, you know, and just looking at it, we wasn't getting the, you know, the calls in the zone that we wanted. But again, that was just last night, and then we got to turn the page and go out and play, you know, Pirates baseball tonight.
Yeah, when you look at the next three, you get DeGrom, I believe, on Sunday, but what are you looking for in these next two before you get DeGrom? To try to derail the Mets and maybe help the Braves jump back into this, a game back in the National League East.
Well, I mean, we just got to take it, you know, one game at a time. You know, we just played them about a week ago. So, you know, we're familiar with them in that sense of regard. Now it comes down to execution of a game plan. And that's the biggest thing. If you can execute on a game plan, it gives you a better chance. And it's just doing that, you know, from, you know, the first inning all the way through on offense and defense. So, I mean, that's it. You know, we'll just come in and, you know, we'll have our regular practice before the game and push and you know, do everything we can to prepare, you know, to you know, face these these Mets pitchers in the next couple of days. And that's pretty much the plan for, you know, the next 3 days.
Yeah, and not only that, the fan base there is going to be something. We'll have our top five fan bases and heckling crowds, but they must be something. I can imagine that. You get an earful there at the first base coach.
You know what? They were a little tame last night, maybe because it was Roberto Clemente, but I expect them to be back in full form, you know, tonight and throughout the weekend here, you know, at Citi Field before we go on to Yankee Stadium. But, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, how is the environment there? I mean, it's got to be fun. I mean, you just kind of pretty much stay in the same hotel or just go over the river there or whatever to get where the Bronx is. But that's got to be fun, spending a lot of time in New York and taking in the sightseeing and stuff like that, and then getting down to business at night.
Yeah, no, it was good. I think we might stay in the same hotel, so that's good. You know, there's no, you know, switching out and packing your bag up. But, you know, yeah, you know, yesterday getting out and walking around, you know, Central Park yesterday, going to, you know, get some pour over coffee and just enjoying the atmosphere of the city is just awesome. And being able to tap into that and take it with you. And again, you know, doing the same thing today a little bit, just walk around a little bit more, you know, see, you know, some things, you know, venture over to, you know, Times Square and keep going. But the cool thing is just knowing that we do have an off day on Monday where we get to, you know, figure out what we want to do. And more importantly, figure out, you know, three good meals that we get to eat in the city.
Yeah. Put the tab on Daniel Vogelbach.
Definitely.
I always say if he wasn't playing baseball, he'd fit the WWE. I could see him in the ring throwing some guys out of the ring, you know, unbelievable. But what a great guy, and definitely miss him in Pittsburgh. Hey, the top five female artists. Yeah. We came up with a list, and boy, this was a hard one for me, and the one that missed the cut for you was one of my favorites, and I didn't even have her on the cut, but my top five, Donna Summer, Aretha Franklin, Jennifer Lopez, Whitney Houston, and I love Patti LaBelle, missing the cut, Carrie Underwood, Tina Turner, who I had a chance to meet, really nice lady, still looks great, Pink, Madonna, and Adele. And the one I should have had on there, but I said when you sent the list, was Celine Dion. And boy, I love Celine Dion too. But man, oh man, such a hard list to come up with, my brother.
Yeah, it definitely you know, is a hard list. And, you know, just trying to figure out, like, man, who do I add? Who do I take off? You know, why am I adding them as the top five artists? But it was like, man, okay, so. Here's my list. I went with, you know, Patti LaBelle, definitely. And then I throw in Chaka Khan, you know, Chaka Khan. So that was it. And then I went to Whitney Houston, man, that she could just sing. And then after Whitney, I threw Mariah Carey in there. I mean, for, you know, crying out loud, you wait to, you know, a couple months from now, all you'll hear is nothing but Mariah Carey Christmas songs. Like, she had regular hits, and then she had seasonal hits as well, too. That was really pretty huge. And then the first time I really heard this lady sing and saw her was in one of my favorite movies of all time growing up, and that's one we got to do too, was The Blues Brothers, and it was Aretha Franklin. Oh, my goodness, that blew me away. So that was it. And then after Aretha Franklin, I went to gospel, man, and these three ladies can not sing, they can sing. S-A-N-G, sang, and that is the Clark Sisters. Oh, my goodness. Now, missing the cut, I had Celine Dion. I had Yolanda Adams. She can sing. Boy, CeCe Winans, and then the one that gets very underrated, but she is powerful. She played in Dreamgirls, and it was Jennifer Hudson. They call her J-Hud. She can sing, man. She can sing. She can hit some notes. That's unbelievable. So that was it, man. Really tough list. But if you notice, man, when you really want to go to some singers or some singers, you got to throw some gospel artists in there because they can sing. Pretty much a lot of people start out, you know, in the church. So that's my top five. And I did, you know, enlist some help from my wife on these.
Yeah. And you know, Celine Dion, I just love her music. Oh, I could sit there and listen to her all night, too.
You know what? That's part of one of the jokes that I use to, you know, the players. It's like, man, thanks for coming out here. And I said, man, I'm like Celine Dion in Vegas. I'm performing daily, and that's it. I don't know who's there. I remember one time Boys and Men was there, but you know, whoever's there, man, like to be able to perform, you know, night in and night out and sing the way that we know that they can sing, man, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yesterday in Philadelphia, we had former Detroit Lion and Penn State football player Keith Dorney on, along with Andrea Adams Miller, and it was so fun. And she's like outside of Cleveland, I guess. And I said, "Don't take offense, but I have a shirt that says Cleveland sucks. Feel a Pittsburgh lumber." And I think she went to Bowling Green. I said, I had nothing to do with Bowling Green getting blasted by UCLA in the beginning of the year, so don't hold that against me either.
Yeah, it happens. They got a nice payday.
Yeah, that's the thing. But you brought up a suggestion, so we'll push the fan base to next Friday. Monday we'll do the movies. We'll come up with the top five movies. So that'll be a good one, too. We'll have a good list for that one, I'm sure. Both of us will be coincided with one another on that one. Hey, as we wrap this thing up, I know I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that you take the Mets out, and I'm dealing with a lot of New York friends, so just got to showcase some Steeler gear and Penguin gear and along with the Pirate gear, and then that'll put them in their place. But let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And, boy, when we reconvene Monday, we'll be back right here in New York again.
I know, two shows in one city is pretty awesome. But, yeah, you can find me on Facebook, TARRIKBROCK, Instagram, TARRIKBROCKSR, and on Twitter, TARRIKSR. And I believe TikTok is the same thing, first and last name on there, man. So, again, man, have a great weekend. I don't even know what day this is. Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's Friday, yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I know.
It's Friday.
I always say, being a ball player, it's almost like an airline stewardess, but you're in more cities than they are, and you just pack up and go, and it's like living in and out of a suitcase.
You know what? I just wait for that. You know, that ding on my phone that, you know, tells me what time to have my luggage down at the front desk. And I know it's time to pack up and be ready to go.
Yeah. You'll probably get a bird's eye view of that walk up song by Diaz, but I'm going to listen to yours and mine with the Hell's Bells with Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah. You know, we dodged it last night and we're looking forward to dodge it again. Or if we do hear it, you know, it's hopefully that it's been 3 days and he hasn't pitched. And, you know, we'll just have to do everything we can to beat him up when we get him.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, for Tarek Brock out there in New York, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back Monday on an off day as the Pirates will put the Mets behind them and then focus on the Yankees. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a great weekend. And again, thanks for tuning in.